Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Amen. So if you would turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, that's where we're going to be reading out of the scripture this morning, is Genesis chapter 2. For those of you who may not know me, my name is Pastor Steve. I'm the executive pastor here at CRCOG, and Pastor Ronnie is actually back in town, but he spent the weekend out of town with his lovely wife for their 33rd wedding anniversary. Amen. So thankful for our pastors and what they do for us here at the church. And then tonight, he is starting a revival, actually out of town. So he had a lot on his plate. So I get the opportunity this morning to launch our new series. How many of you have enjoyed the past series that we've had the last several weeks with The Path? Right? That was absolutely amazing. Pastor Ronnie just brought revelation, brought great word. It was an awesome series. So today we're launching a new series that's going to take place for the remainder of the month of February. And this series is titled Relationship Rehab. Relationship Rehab. How many of you know February is one of those months that makes you keenly aware of your relationship status? I mean, it just is, man. So this month, we're going to focus on some things that you can do to have healthier and better relationships. Amen? So we're going to be focusing on that. If you would, and go ahead and shout out if you're at Genesis chapter 2. Say, I'm ready to go. Everybody ready to go? All right. So we're going to start reading in verse 18, and it reads like this. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gives names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And as he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. Some scriptures say he presented her to the man. He brought her to the man, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. I want to talk to you today on the title, Single is Greater Than Alone. Single is Greater Than Alone. Let's pray this morning. Father, I just give you praise and glory in this house. I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to get up and fill this pulpit. And Lord, like always, I know that I can't do it under my own power. I can't do it under my own knowledge, under my own strength. But Holy Spirit, I depend on you to give me the words that would bring revelation and change to somebody's life. Father, we depend on you this morning to move on our hearts and minds. Lord, we just pray that you have your way, that you would use this vessel how you seem fit. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. So I decided to start off this series, and Pastor Ronnie told me, he goes, you're going to be launching the series on the 10th, and you're going to be starting off, and then when I get back, we're going to move into it. And it is a relationship and marriage series, but there's no greater impact on a marriage or on a relationship than your time alone when you are single. So I don't want to leave out anybody in this series, so I want to talk to those this morning specifically who are single. And what I mean by single this morning is this. If you are not in a marriage covenant, you are single. I'm not talking about if you have a boyfriend or if you have a girlfriend, and I'm not talking about if you're engaged, but I'm talking about you're not single. Only if you've stood before a man of God or a judge and you said your vows and you put on rings and you took a covenant, then you are no longer single. So this morning, I'm talking to those who have not stood before and taken a covenant of marriage, or maybe even those who have taken a covenant of marriage, but that marriage season is now over and you've stepped out of that marriage into a new season of singleness. Or maybe even those who have had a spouse pass away and you've stepped out of a season of marriage and now you've stepped into a new season of singleness. What I want to do is discuss what that singleness season means for your life and how it will impact you and how it will impact your future relationships if you choose. Now, notice I said, if you choose, because in the Bible, Paul makes it very clear that it's okay to remain single if you want. I don't want anybody in this series, and especially because Jess and I are, we're the executive pastors on staff, but sometimes we're known as the marriage pastors, right? And if people ain't married, sometimes they think they can't even talk to us, you know, like oh, we ain't talking to them, you know, or if somebody's going through a hard time in their marriage, they don't talk to us, and Jess and I get our feelings hurt, and we're like, what the heck, man, what do we do to them, you know, and they just walking around us because they don't want to talk to the marriage pastors. Well, I want you to know this morning that our heart, Jessica and my heart, is not just for married people, but our heart is for people. Our heart is for all people, no matter what your relationship status says on Facebook, no matter what your Instagram says, no matter what your social media says, we're for you as people. And why is that? How can we be such proponents of marriage, but also such proponents of people? Because we know marriage is an institution that God created, but we know that God loves people more than he loves institutions. Amen. The church is an institution that God created, but God loves the people within the church more than he loves the institution of the church. God loves people that are within a relationship of marriage more than he even loves the institution of marriage this morning. So I want to make it clear that no matter what your relationship status is today, we are for you and not against you. Amen. We are for you. We're for blessings in your life. And I want to do some teaching this morning that will help you maximize this season of singleness, no matter how long that might be. It might be a season of singleness for the rest of your life, and that is okay. And some of y'all about stroked out and said, I hope not. You know, and maybe if that's you this morning and you do want a relationship, then you can still maximize this season of singleness to make your relationship better when it comes. Amen? Amen. I just want to point out really quickly, for the very first time in service, and they tried to sneak in the back so they could get away without this, my daughter Kennedy and her husband Kyle, who got married last weekend. Give it up for them. Amen. So we're starting a series on relationships today, and Pastor Ronnie's going to pick it up when he gets back next week, and Pastor Ronnie's going to do a lot of teaching on marriage and a lot of teaching on relationships, but for today, I want to talk about our time as a single person. Now, you may be in this place today, and you say, but I'm married. You know, I'm married, so this message might not be for me. I might want to go stop by the nursery and get some goldfish and just munch on some goldfish and watch the babies, right? No, there's going to be some stuff in here for you too, right? And if you're in a married relationship, there's going to be a lot of stuff in here for you too. But why? Because most people, and I would say it's a high percentage of people, come into marriage without maximizing their singleness. They come into marriage without it, and then they start to struggle in their marriage, and a lot of the struggle in the marriage has to do with not maximizing your time as a single person. So, but what I'm going to be teaching singles today, if you're already married, it's okay for you to go backwards and start applying some of this stuff in your life. Now, I'm not saying step out of your marriage and start over. That's not what I'm saying this morning. What I am saying is it's okay to maximize the spiritual aspects of this, the emotional aspects of this, the parts of your life that depend on the time when you were single to make your marriage better. And you can still apply those today, even if you have a ring on it. Say amen. So because I want to know my crowd this morning before we get started, how many of y'all are singles? If you're singles, shout it out, man. Be proud. All right. We got a large group of singles right over in this session here, man. How many of y'all are married? Do you have a ring on it? If you have a ring on it, shout it out. Okay. Okay, that's what I thought. 8:30 service is typically going to have more married couples than 11 o'clock service, right? Because y'all getting up early and trying to plan your day. And once you get married, you can't sleep in no more, man. People nagging at you, trying to pull you out of bed, right? You just can't do it. So you got to go to the 8:30 service if you're married, right? No, I'm just teasing you this morning. So how many of you know the health of your future relationships. The health of your marriage depends upon your personal health as a single. If you're a healthy single, you have a great chance of moving into a healthy marriage. If you're an unhealthy single, you've got a bad chance of moving into a healthy marriage. Why? Because what I said earlier, marriage is an institution, and institutions are made up of people, and a marriage is only as good as the two people in it. Amen. And notice I said two people, right? Two people. That's not you, your spouse, and your mother-in-law, right? It's two people, right? It's you and your spouse, right? It's you and your spouse that make up that marriage. So it's only as healthy as the two people in it. Marriage in church culture today is, or singleness in church culture today is kind of degraded. Man, people walk in single and people just expect you, why are you still single? You know, you'd be 35 years old and walking into a service and people looking down their glasses at you like, why are you still single? And I got your answer. Say, Jesus was? Man, Jesus was single 30-something, right? Paul was single, right? It's okay. It's not a bad word. It's okay to be single, and it's okay to remain single if you so choose. So today, I want to talk about that a little bit. See, the culture makes you think that you as a single person are not enough. That you as a single person are not enough. And I know it may not be something that we talk about, and it may not be something that you share with people, but the truth is, many single people that I talk to feel like because they're not part of a marriage covenant that they're not enough. And I want to share with you today that is a lie of the devil. That is a lie of the enemy. And in actuality, you can be more effective for the kingdom of God as a single woman or a single man than you can as a married couple. Why is that? A single person has more time. They have more availability. They don't have to worry about somebody else's schedule. They don't have to worry about pleasing a woman for the love of God. And they don't have to worry about pleasing a man. And all they can worry about is pleasing God, right? So maximizing your singleness during this time is maximizing your time with God, your relationship with God. Single is greater than alone, because if you're single, you are not alone. You are in relationship with God. You are in relationship with other people. Single is not lonely. Single is greater than alone. Can I hear an amen? And all the single people said, that's right. Y'all didn't say it. All the single people said, that's right. That's right. We have Valentine's Day coming up, right? And the world says, you know, Valentine's Day is for couples. And I see posts on Facebook now starting from single people. And they're like, oh, good Lord, Valentine's Day is coming up. It's right around the corner. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. It's right around the corner. Valentine's Day is coming up. And they call Valentine's Day Single Awareness Day. Right? So if you're married or you're in a relationship, Valentine's Day is just Valentine's Day. If you're single, it's Single Awareness Day. You know what the three letters are? Sad. Right? People get sad on Valentine's Day if they're single. They're like, I'm sad, man. It's Single Awareness Day today. I'm not in a relationship. But I want to call you out of that. Because first of all, Valentine's Day is a man-made construct. Right? There ain't nothing in the Bible about Valentine's Day. It was like the card makers just needed to sell some more cards in February, and they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to put out Valentine's Day and coerce and manipulate people into buying flowers and candies and cards, because we in a little bit of a sluggish season because everybody spent all their money at Christmas, and we need to get the economy back up and going. Hey, Valentine's Day, that's it. We're going to coerce and manipulate people into that. We say that sometimes, and people look at me and Jessica like we're the devil. Oh, I can't believe Pastor Steve just talked about Valentine's Day like that, and he's the marriage pastor. Oh, my gosh. Well, listen, this is what we believe. We believe that if you're in a marital relationship, that you should be keep treating your spouse good all year long. Not one day a year, right? Not a handful of holidays and a birthday thrown in. But we believe that you should do flowers just because. That if my woman wants some chocolate, I'm going to bring her some chocolate just because, not because it's Valentine's Day. And every once in a while, I'm going to stop up and pick up a card, and I'm going to give her some love just because, not because it's Valentine's Day. right? And if you're married, you better be having some belly-to-belly time more than just on Valentine's Day. Amen? I apologize to all the parents in the room. No, I don't. They probably heard it at school already. At least they could hear it in the church. Amen? Amen. So culture calls Valentine's Day sad, but it's a lie of the enemy, man. It's a lie of the enemy. God has so much more for you as a single than to sit around and be sad. God has so much more for you than that, right? So marriage is important to God. How many would agree with that? Right? I agree with that. I believe that. Marriage is important to God, but even more important to God than marriage is your personal relationship with God. Your personal relationship with God. When Jessica and I teach priorities, this is what we teach in marriage class. Number one is your relationship with God. Number two is your relationship with your spouse. Number one is always your relationship with your God. Because if you're not in good relationship with God, it's going to affect your relationship with your spouse. Right? You need to be in good relationship horizontally and either to have a good relationship vertically. Amen? You got to have relationship with God first, and it makes the cross. I know. Is that what you were saying? Or are you telling me to zip it up? Gotcha. She's talking to me. I'm preaching. This ain't Jerry Springer. You can't just holler stuff out. I got a pastor in me this morning. So people long for somebody in your life, right? They long for people in their life. And this is what I see on a regular basis. People fight and fight and fight to get in marriage. Man, I just got to have a husband. Man, I just need to find a wife. And they're fighting so hard to get into marriage. But once they get into marriage, man, they're fighting to get out of it. Man, I got this husband and I don't want him. Man, I know I fought to get him, Pastor Steve, but now I don't want him. Because now things changed. I thought I could still live my life like I did when I was single now that I'm married. I didn't know I would have to talk to them about my money. I didn't know I'd have to talk to them about my time. I didn't know I'd have to talk to them about my work. I didn't know I'd have to talk to them. My God, they want sex all the time. Like I thought I wanted that. I don't want that, right? And people fight to get into marriage, and then they're fighting to get out of it. You know why? Because they didn't properly prepare themselves in their season of singleness before they went into a season of marriage. Pastor Mike Todd is a phenomenal preacher, and this is a quote straight from him, and I quoted him exactly how he said it. He said, "You're not sick of being single. You're sick of you." You hear that? You're sick of you, not singleness. So you think that you plus somebody else gonna make you whole, gonna make you better. But the truth is that they sick of themselves too. So you plus somebody else, if you're sick and they're sick, when they get married, y'all about to be sick together, right? Pastor Mike Todd has a way of just laying it out clear for you, right? You take one sick person, you put them with another sick person, y'all just gonna be sick together. It ain't gonna make you healthy. It ain't gonna make you whole, right? We don't do it in the physical, you can't do it in the relational. You don't take two sick people and stick them in a room and say they're going to cancel each other out. Now they're going to come out healthy. Right? It don't work like that. You got two sick people, you stick them in a room, they just two sick people together. And that's what happens in a relationship. People are sick relationally. They get into another relationship with somebody else who's sick relationally, and now they're just sick together, and there's even a larger deficit than what there was when they were single. Right? That's why we have so many toxic marriages, because people ain't doing what they're supposed to be doing when they're single. Right? So why are you so passionate, Pastor Steve? If you're supposed to be the marriage pastor, why are you so passionate about preaching on singles today? Because I want to see marriages last. I want to see divorce be a thing of the past. I want to see Christian couples never even utter the word divorce. I want to see Christian couples stay married for the rest of their life. And I would rather have less marriages and more singles than more marriages and more divorce. And that's something I want to see. Amen? Amen. So these are our divorce statistics are pretty high. A lot of people quote that we have a 50% divorce rate in the United States, and the truth is we've never gotten that high. It's actually somewhere around 38 or 39%, right? It's a number that just eludes people. You can't really find it. Like, I've done hours of research trying to find the actual divorce rate in the United States. I can't find it. So I have to take some researchers' word for it because they're better researchers than me. And it's probably somewhere around 38 or 39% divorce rate. Now, listen to this. About 22% or 21% of, or 22% of women and 21% of men in any given group, including this group sitting here, have been divorced at one time or another. That means at some point or another, about 25 to 30% of y'all have been affected by divorce in your lifetime. 25 to 30% of people sitting in this room today have been divorced or affected by divorce in their lifetime, right? But having, listen to this, this is good news, but having a common faith in God in the relationship and regular church attendance lowers your risk of divorce by 7 to 14%, right? Man, how many of y'all would rather have a 20% chance rather than a 38% chance? Right? Right? So being in relation with God lowers your divorce rate. Being in tune with God lowers your divorce rate. I'm going to go one step further. If you're in relationship with God and you're obedient to God, I guarantee you the divorce rate will drop to zero. If both people in that relationship are obedient to God, then you're never going to see something cataclysmic happen to that marriage because God's going to head it off before it does. God's going, oh, no. Don't you talk to that person. No, you better about face it and turn the other way. And the Holy Spirit told you to about face and turn the other way, and you just avoided an affair. Right? Because you're listening to the Holy Spirit. You're listening. You're in such a tight relationship with God that you're listening to what he says. And I guarantee you that two Christians that are in a tight relationship with God, both, it takes both, not just one. One can't do it for the other person. But two people in a tight relationship with God, and then you're obedient to him, you won't see divorce. Divorce will not come near your doorstep because you're obedient to the Lord. Amen? Here's another statistic. Getting married after age 24 gives you a higher chance of marriage survival. And all the older folks in the room said, hallelujah. You know why that is? Because before age 24, your brain is still forming. Your brain's still trying to figure out how to do this thing. Your brain's still trying to calculate life, right? Now, that's an average. It's not true of everybody. And I just married a young couple that are younger than 24, but I believe, bless the Lord, that they're ready, right? But some people come into marriage too early, too soon. Their brain hasn't completely formed yet, and then they don't know how to react when they got a toxic spouse living in the house. They don't know how to deal with it, so they flip out. Right? And that's some of the things that happens. Here's a cultural thing, right? Because we're a multicultural church. African Americans have a slightly higher percentage of divorce than whites or Hispanics. That's a cultural thing. So there's things that we have to do in the church. There's things that we need to do in our own households. There's things that we need to do in our own community. But most of all, there's things that we need to do in us. So that we don't bow down to what the culture says. We don't bow down to what other people say. We don't bow down to what percentages say. But we say, God, if your hand is in it, none of that stuff matters. And this marriage can last. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to give you quickly this morning. I say quickly. What time we got? Oh, we got plenty of time. So I'm going to hit you quickly this morning. Here's five fundamentals of how to maximize your singleness in order to maximize your relationships, whether they be with friends, flings, or deeper things. All right? So here's five things. Here's the first one. In order to maximize your singleness, you have to deepen your relationship with God. This is the time. See, our culture says, you know, I'll get it right once I get a wife. I'll get it right once I get a husband. I'll get it right once I walk down the aisle and put a ring on it. No, man. You got to get it right now so you can have it right later. If you don't get it right now, nothing's going to be right later. If you don't get it right now, when you enter into a relationship, it's going to be all wrong. Right? So you got to deepen your relationship with God now. This is learning to view relationships in the right way, and this is how we do it. Number one, agape love is not performance-based. What is agape love, Pastor Steve? Agape love is how God loves you. God loves you in a way that is not performance-based. The way that God, how many of you are glad to hear that this morning, right? How many of you didn't know that? God's love for you is not conditional on something that you do or say. God's love is not conditional on how well you perform. God's love for you just is. Agape love just is. Now listen, this is the key, because Paul compared our relationship with God to our relationship with our future spouse, our relationship with our present spouse, right? He said this. He said that agape love is not performance-based. This is the thing. Marital love cannot be performance-based. Marital love can't be performance-based. If we're gonna mirror our relationship with God into our relationship with our spouse, marital love cannot be performance-based. Because this is what happens if it is. Your spouse will never live up to your expectations. Some marrieds and singles idolize and idealize marriage. If you idolize or idealize marriage, you're in for trouble, because what you idolize, you will eventually demonize. Listen, I need you to get this today, single people. Idols are not of God. We're supposed to worship the Creator only. Anything we're worshiping other than the Creator is not of God. If we're worshiping a perfect marriage, if we're worshiping a perfect relationship, if we get nail-biting nervous being not in a relationship, something is wrong. You're idolizing relationships. You're idolizing relationships with people. And whatever you idolize, you will eventually demonize. Why do we see marriages go haywire? Because people idolize that this thing is going to be perfect. This relationship is going to be awesome. This relationship is going to be great. And then they step into marriage with a human being. You didn't marry an android. You didn't marry a robot. You step into relationship with a human being who makes mistakes, who leaves dirty underwear laying on the floor, who takes too long of showers and didn't leave you any hot water. You married with a human being who doesn't agree with you on everything that you think. You married a human being that you come into conflict and collision with, and then this is the temptation. Oh my gosh, I married the wrong one. No. That's not the case. You married a human, right? Not the wrong one. You married a human. So how do you make that work? You have to die to yourself. You have to die to your own wants. You have to die to your own desires. Die to your own needs. And then some of you sitting in this room say, I ain't willing to do any of that. Then stay single, because that's what marriage is. If you ain't willing to die to yourself for another person, you don't need to be married. You need to stay single and maximize your singleness. Amen? Man, Pastor Steve is kind of hard on you today, isn't he? He's even talking in the third person. Listen, we got to get rid of performance-based expectations, both in the church and in our marriages. See, people say things like, well, God loves me because I don't drink. God loves me because I don't smoke. God loves me because I drop a big fat tithe check in the offering every week. God loves me because I lead a small group. No, God just loves you. There is no because. There's no because I did this and did that and did this and did that or do this or do that. God just loves you. That's it. God loves you, period. So what are the other things for? We do that because we love him. Because we love him, then we do the other things. Amen? Amen. So understanding the way God loves you is how we are to love others, especially within the confines of marriage. That's how we're supposed to love other people. Well, I love Jessica as long as she don't talk too much. I love Jessica as long as she always looking fine. I love Jessica as long as she stays at a certain weight. Jessica loves Steve as long as his suit ain't a little too tight. Jessica loves Steve as long as he doesn't eat two carbs at lunch and just sticks to one. Right? These are performance-based situations. right? We have to learn how to love other people the way God loves us. And then every relationship in your life will get better. Not just a marriage, every relationship in your life will get better. Amen? So listen, guys, and this is for you marrieds, right? I want you to know this because it's something that you need to know in order to have a healthy marriage. This is a fundamental. So if you're single and you're planning on getting married one day, you need to know this. If you're in a relationship now and you're married, you need to know this. A woman's greatest moment of vulnerability is to be exposed physically before a man. When a woman is most vulnerable is when she is standing naked before a man. Now here's the next one. A man's greatest moment of vulnerability is to be exposed emotionally before a woman. A man never feels more vulnerable than when a woman standing before him knows his deepest fears, his deepest thoughts, his deepest feelings. Now here's how you maintain a structure and a healthy foundation of your relationship. Guys, don't you ever say something insulting about your wife's body. Don't you ever do it. Because the moment you do, you're creating cracks and fissures in the foundation of your relationship. Because something cracks inside a woman when she has been the most vulnerable before you and you've said something negative to her. Now, the same is true vice versa. Ladies, don't you ever throw your husband's raw emotions and feelings that he shared with you up in his face. Because the moment you do, he will tuck those emotions so far back within himself that you'll never see them again. And it'll take an act of God to bring him back out of himself to you. So married couples, if you want a solid foundation, respect those two things, all right? That stuff was for free. Number two, singles. Live a whole life as a single person. Live a whole life as a single person. Not a half a life, not a partial life, not a life in waiting, but live a whole life as a single person in order to maximize your singleness. As a single person, you are not half a person. Amen? And that's sometimes, we don't say it, but that's sometimes how people feel. They feel like if they're single and not in a relationship, that they're half a person. And that's a lie of the enemy. You are a whole person that God designed to be in relationship with him and live a whole life, no matter how long your singleness is. No matter how long the season of singleness is, you live a whole life. You do the things that are exciting, that grow you, that lift you up. You do the things that edify you, that strengthen you during this season of singleness so that you're better when you step into a season of marriage. Amen? So listen to this. What happens, do you think, if a half a person marries a half a person? Does that make a whole person? It makes a half a marriage. If a person who's only half marries another person who's only half a person, the marriage has a greater deficit than the two people had separate. It multiplies it. It magnifies it. It makes the relationship struggle even that much more. Listen to this. This is something that Jess and I teach on a regular basis. You might say, well, you know what? I'm pretty strong. Right, some women in here might say, you know what, Pastor Steve, I'm pretty strong, and I can carry him. Man, I can make it happen. Let me tell you this. My wife is a strong woman. She is a strong woman. But let me tell you this. If I just decide one day that my wife needs to carry me, hey, you know what, I'm just going to give up on my part. You know what, Jess, you can carry me emotionally from here on out. And I'm just going to check out. I'm going to tuck my emotions back. I'm not going to share them. I'm going to check out. And you take care of the emotions. Hey, Jess, you know what? I'm going to check out spiritually from God and just let you carry me. You just carry me spiritually because I'm just going to check out, right? I'm. You know what? You deal with God. You do the praying. You do the Bible reading. You just share with me once in a while what you learn. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to do me, right? I'm just going to do me, boo. But you, and then she says, I can't do that. And then I'm going to say, you know what, baby? You can just not only carry me emotionally and spiritually, you can carry me financially too. I'm going to quit my job. You know what? I've earned a season of rest. I've been working for 7.5 years, and I just feel like it's time for a season of rest. And I'm just going to quit my job. I feel like the Lord just spoke, woo! And I'm going to lay in bed all day and play Call of Duty, woo! And then you go to work, and you take care of the bills, baby, right? And then I'm going to say, I'm going to stop growing intellectually, and I'm going to stop reading books, and I'm not going to try to better myself in life, baby. I'm going to leave that on you, and you do that. And you know what? Most of you today are looking at me like I got two heads, but the truth is, every counseling session I walk in, women are about to crush under the weight of the burdens that men are refusing to carry. And every time that happens, I look at the man and I say, she was not designed to carry all of that. You are the stronger vessel for a reason. You are the designed one to carry the weight of that household. That would be like me going home and pulling my side-by-side refrigerator out of the hole in the wall and strapping it to my wife's back and saying, hey, baby, I know this thing's heavy, but just carry this thing around for a while. And not a man in this room would do that, I hope. Not a man in this room would go home and strap a refrigerator to their wife's back. But unfortunately, many men within the church, many men within our community will go home and take all of their responsibilities and strap them to their wife's back. And in essence, what you're doing is strapping a refrigerator to her and you're asking her to carry it. You know what? Me and my wife posed for some pictures recently, and my wife don't weigh nothing. But when I picked her up and held her up for a little while, she got heavy, dog. She's smiling because she's good. She's smiling, looking at me, and she goes, baby, why are your hands shaking? I'm like, because I ain't been to the gym in like 4 months. That's why my arms are shaking. You know, I'm holding her for the picture. You know, in the picture, I look like I got like big eyes and gritted teeth. Right? I'm like, she don't weigh much, man. You know? But imagine trying to carry the weight of another person your whole life. Not just for a few seconds for the camera, but for your whole life. That's why it's so important, men, single men in this room, it's so important for you to maximize this season so that you can walk in and be the husband that you're called to be in the next season. Ladies, it's so important for you to maximize this season so that you can walk in and be who you need to be in the next season. Amen? You can't carry all the weight. Hallelujah. Listen, what you practice now in your singleness, you're going to do in your marriage. It's just a thing, right? Pastor Ronnie, at the beginning of the year, he said, what you're doing before the new year, you're going to do in the new year. If you don't make changes before the new year, New Year's resolutions aren't going to work, right? It's the same thing in your marriage. What you're doing now, you're going to do in your marriage. If you're partying all the time now, you may take a little break when you get married, but you're going to start partying again. If you play video games all day now instead of going to work, when you come into the next season, you're going to want to play video games all day and not go to work. If you don't work a job now, when you come into the next season, you're not going to want to work a job for your spouse, right? If you don't get close to God now, when you come into your next season, you're going to push that off on your spouse, and you're not going to get close to God. Listen, singles, being single doesn't mean being single and waiting. It doesn't mean your life is on hold. It doesn't mean that you're just waiting for the right person to come along. That being single is not waiting. That's being alone. Being alone is waiting. Being single is something greater that God has called you to. Hallelujah. You got to get in the flow now. You got to set your trajectory now. You got to make life goals now. You got to do something about your life now. Not wait till later. Oh, if I was in a relationship, then, you know, I'd set some goals and go back to school and do what I need to do. No, baby, you do it now. What you do now, you'll be doing later, right? See, this is what happens. Help me out, Kelly. You know how to speed walk? Speed walk. Yeah, in those shoes, speed walk, right? This is what happens, okay? Go ahead and just keep doing it until I tell you to quit. You're in shape. I want y'all to look at her for a second, right? Because this is sometimes one single person, and they are moving. Man, they're going somewhere. You're going to walk a little faster. There you go. They are going somewhere. They are in the flow. They're making life happen. But then the enemy starts whispering there, you know you're lonely. You know you need somebody in your life. You know, you're not really making any strides because you're single. You know, people look at you funny because you're single. It's all right. Keep it PG. You know you're not really successful because you're single. You know that, right? You know that the Lord can't use divorced people. You know that, right? You know that, right? See, and this is what happens. The enemy gets in your ear, and you're making strides, and you're moving, right? You're moving. But then God, or then the enemy gets in your thoughts, and you're moving, but then all of a sudden, the enemy lets you catch somebody's eye. But this is the problem. They catch somebody's eye, she's got to slow down to talk to them. She's got to slow down to get to know them. And she's not moving. And the reason she has to slow down is because they're not moving as fast as she is. How does a whole person marry a half a person? Because they had to slow down to meet them. They had to stop what they were doing to meet them. I'm telling you today, I would rather you marry somebody whole and walk into a blessed marriage than to have to slow down and carry somebody into a toxic relationship for the rest of your life. Thank you. If you keep moving and you get in the flow, this is what's going to happen one day. You're going to be grooving. Right? Speed walking. How you do that? About to trip. You're just going to be in your groove. And then one day, you're going to be in your groove. Keep up with me, baby. And then one day, you're going to look over and go, dang, she keeping up with me. Dang, she got a strong relationship with God as I do. Dang, she wants the things of life like I want. Dang, she's smart too. She reading books. Dang, she fine. Dang, I'm glad I put a ring on it. Right? And that's what happens. Why are there so many divorces in the church? Because people are slowing down and picking up people that aren't on the same stride. And then you wonder why you're miserable. Because they ain't striding like you're striding. They're not moving like you're moving. They're not serving God like you're serving God. So I would rather you find a whole person and remain single for a longer time than to jump into a marriage because you feel like that's what God says your worth is tied up in. When it's not, and it's just a lie of the enemy. Amen? Here's number three. Set a guard on your heart. Now listen, if you're in that marriage, that's not permission to jump out of it, okay? Because God does respect marriage, and I'm going to talk about respecting marriage in just a few seconds. God respects marriage. God loves marriage. God hates divorce. God doesn't hate divorced people, and God is a God of second chances. And if you've been through it, you can rise above it. God does not hate you, but God hates what divorce does to people. And divorce hurts people emotionally, hurts them intellectually, hurts them financially, hurts them spiritually. Divorce comes in and wrecks a household, especially if you've been married for any long period of time. So that's not permission to jump out of a marriage. But what I'm telling you to do is getting you to see why you're struggling. To see why the choices that you made when you were single and coming into the relationship affected your marriage now. Amen? So number three was set a guard on your heart. How many of you know the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind? Amen. Walking in this season of singleness with the peace of God, and God will guard your heart so that you can move into what next season he has for you. You don't have to stay tucked away. You don't have to build walls around yourself, walls around your heart, but you have permission to go live the life that God has called you to now as a single person without having to stay back and be a person in waiting, all right? All of life's issues flow from the heart. Number four, guys, is this. Singles and married people, respect marriage. Respect marriage. Listen, if you're single, watch your friendships. Watch your friendships. Watch how you interact with married people. If you're single, if you're a single guy, man, don't be flirting with somebody's wife. If you're a single woman, don't be dating up on somebody's husband. Respect marriage. God calls us to respect marriage. We're supposed to respect marriage. And you're married until the day that you're not. You're still married. And then sometimes, you know, you hear things like, well, his wife is just jealous. No, baby, you just went too far. You just flaunted a little too much. And wives have a sixth sense about this, man. I know because I have a wife. And sometimes my wife will go, you need to deal with this. I'm like, baby, what's going on with you? Are you crazy? What happened? And men don't see stuff. But women have this sixth sense, and they say, you deal with this. You block that. You don't do that, right? Because they know. So single people, respect marriage. Respect the borders of marriage. Respect it. And listen, I got the spirit of pastor on me today. Some of y'all, single ladies, I done seen you naked on your Instagram with clothes on. Because you're wearing clothes that show every bump, every curve, every groove. You're wearing clothes that show it all, and then get upset if a woman asks her husband to take you off their social media. So listen, respect yourself in this season, respect God in this season, and respect marriage in this season. Amen? Y'all mad at me? Singles, you love me? Nobody mad at me, right? All right. Not yet. Number five, and I'm going to close with this one, guys. I know it's 10 o'clock. I need to get you out of here. Number five, learn how to love yourself well so you can love others well. During this season, learn how to love yourself well so that you can love others well. I'm going to make a statement, and at first it might seem a little rough. You can only love someone else as much as you know how to love yourself. If you don't know how to love, you're not going to love somebody else properly. So you have to learn how to love yourself. Where do I find this? Was that biblical, Pastor Steve? Let's read this. Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he, Jesus, said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as what? As yourself. That's not just a call to love your neighbor, but that's a call to love and respect yourself. You love and respect yourself. You learn how to love yourself well, you'll learn how to love somebody else well. Amen. Come help me, Josh. Love your neighbor as yourself appears 8 times. In the scripture. 8 times. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now here's what happens. People get so busy looking for a relationship, looking for that man, looking for that woman, looking for somebody who's going to fulfill them, that they don't ever take time to figure themselves out. Right? They don't take time to figure out Who am I? What am I about? What are my wants? What are my goals? What are my desires? What are my needs? So busy looking for somebody else to fulfill you that you haven't even figured yourself out yet. So this is what happens. People get married. It's hard because marriage is hard. Take it from me. Marriage is hard. And all the married people said, marriage is hard, man. It's not for the weak. It's not for the faint of heart. How many of our couples in this room have been married 50 years? Anybody? We got any 50-year marriages in here? Right back here, right? Marriage is hard. Being married 50 years is hard. It requires walking this out like never before. It requires loving like never before. It requires putting your own self down like never before. But this is what happens. People jump into a relationship and then they say things like this. Pastor Steve, I just need some space. He's in my space. I need some space. Pastor Steve, I can't go to the bathroom. He's knocking on the door. I need some space. And then they say things like, I just need to get alone for a while. That's code for I want out. I want out of this thing. That's Christianese for I want a divorce. I just need to get alone for a while. I've got to figure a few things out. And why is that? Because marriage is a magnifying glass. How many of you ladies and guys have ever seen the makeup like the MAC counter at the mall? Right? You ever walk by the makeup counter, the MAC counter, and they got this huge mirror that's a magnifying glass mirror? And you thinking you look sharp that day? You're thinking you're feeling good about yourself that day? You're thinking, man, I'm a good-looking dude. Man, I'm a fine lady. Right? You're looking in the mirror and you thinking that? You walk up and look into that mirror, man, you'd be buying all the makeup and you're a dude. You're like, sell me the MAC foundation, sell me this, sell me that. You're spending $180 and secretly in the bathroom, going in the family bathroom so nobody sees you and you can lock the door just trying to cover that up because you saw so much ugliness in yourself. Marriage is a magnifying glass like that. Listen, marriage is a gift, but singleness is a gift. They're both gifts, but they both come with their own burdens. They both come with their own difficulties. And not one is any more difficult than the other. But listen, nothing will expose your ugliness like marriage will. So why in the world would God give you marriage if its main function is to expose your ugliness? Because God uses marriage to clean you up. God uses marriage to mold your heart. God uses marriage to change your mind. God uses marriage to do things that you didn't want God to do to you. We teach it like this. Marriage is like a mountain stream. People are the rocks that tumble off the mountainside into the stream. And at first, they're dirty and they're jagged and they got sharp edges. They're not aerodynamic. They don't yield to the flow, so the water's just pounding against this rock. But over time, after a few years of marriage, the rock becomes clean. The rough edges get smoothed out. It begins to go with the flow, and you learn how to dance with your spouse because you learn how to die to yourself. And that's what marriage does. So singles, if you're not ready to go through that process, you're not ready for marriage. But if you maximize your time as a single, and God will speak to you and say, it's either time to get married or no, baby, you need to stay single for the rest of your life. But either way, you listen to the Lord, then you're going to walk this thing out, and it's going to be the best thing you've ever done, whether you're single or whether you're married. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I promised God a long time ago. I know it's not one of those messages, but I promised God a long time ago I would never close a service without giving somebody the opportunity to receive Him as Christ in their life. If there's anybody in this room, and I won't embarrass you, I won't ask you to come forward. All I'm going to ask you to do is raise a hand, put it right back down. We'll pray with you as a group. If there's anybody in this room that wants to accept Christ, just lift a hand and put it right back down.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.